What's up, everybody? This is Roshan. I am the creator of the anti-bullying match card game, and I have a spirit of the moment podcast that I would like to do. I'm out and about. I'm at the mall, and I was just thinking about some things, especially during the holidays. And, you know, I am an advocate for anti-bullying. And I have the anti-bullying match card game. I have the comic books. I have all these resources and tools just to encourage parents and children as well what to do if they're being bullied, how to prevent it, and also to encourage the ones who are doing the bullying that compassion and empathy is a great thing to have as a person. So with all that being said, and it is the holidays, I came up with a title, and bear with me, I'm working on it now. It's called Cut the Right Cord for the Holidays. Cut the Right Cord for the Holidays. And I came up with this thing because I had a vision of, just like I've seen in a whole bunch of movies, you know, you see a person has like less than a minute to defuse the bomb. You know, if you don't cut the right cord, everyone gets blown away, you know, and there's a lot of pressure in cutting the right cord, and the time is ticking and people are counting on you, and then you don't know which one to choose. Some do sometimes and some don't. But with that theme right there, let's just hold that for a second. With that theme right there, I want to encourage all my parents, all those who have children or those who are spending time with the kids for the holidays, to get the gifts, get the toys, get the PlayStation 5s and the scooters and the doll babies and things like that, and make the most of those memories with your children, which is a great thing. However, I want to encourage you as an attachment to that, to get the anti-bullying match card game. Not that I'm trying to do a plug and I just want the product to be pushed and all that. Of course, there's some things in that, but I'm really, really saying this from a sincere place in my heart, that toys and the excitement of toys, it goes away eventually. The toys get old, the kids get tired of them, they want something new. But when you invest into your heart and into your mind that your child needs this encouragement, this empowerment with the toys for the holidays, with the anti-bullying match card game, spending time with them, you're cutting the right cord. You're cutting the right cord, because toys may mask or make them feel good temporarily if there ever was dealing with bullying or they're going back to bullying after the school vacation time, that those moments of playing with the toys are not going to be the answer that they need when it comes to getting back into school, being around the bullies or being around the bully or dealing with situations. And I want to ask you, did you cut the right cord? Did you cut the right cord? Did you cut the cord that's going to allow them to have a whole bunch of fun in the house where it's safe at, with the toys, blocking out the situations of those bullies who gonna be there when the school break is over? Or did you allow them to have that fun, which I'm not saying don't give it to them, but you implement it and you add to that fun 20 minutes, 30 minutes with the anti-bullying match card game, just to prep them, just to prepare them to have this dialogue with you, or what they may be returning back to after the holiday break, or putting you in a place to make some mental notes on making some adjustments in speaking to the teachers, or speaking to the guidance counselor, speaking to the principal, speaking to the school board, whatever these things you may need to do, because you discovered them playing the anti-bullying match card game on Christmas. I want you guys to really think about what I'm saying, because I really believe with all my heart that God has given me this tool to create so that parents will have that open door of dialogue to have with their child, having a good time, joking, laughing, being competitive with the match card game, but you're making mental notes like, oh, I didn't know Rebecca said that to you. Oh, I didn't even know that he's doing that to you at lunch, you know. And not to get right into it when you're playing with the children or you're playing with the kids with the game, make mental notes, make little notes to come back to it later. You don't want to interrupt the honesty and the transparency and your child opening up maybe for the first time. You don't want to get into parent mode ready to fix stuff. play it off, continue to have fun with them, continue to enjoy the excitement of the game and being competitive, trying to get the matches. But as you answer the questions that comes from the card, I want you to think about some things that you may have to revisit later as a parent so that your child can get the breakthrough that they need, so that your child can see like, oh, I had fun with this toy and that toy, but I really had a lot of time to think about some things when I had fun playing with my mom or playing with my dad or my aunt or my big brother with the match card game, about some things going back to school after the holidays. So again, this is Roshan. I just wanted to make a good 5-7 minute, podcast real quick on this topic for the holidays, encouraging you guys to cut the right wire. And what I mean by that, spend time with them with the anti-bullying match card game so that you can diffuse the situation, because some kids may be ticking time bombs and they may mask that explosion with the PlayStation 5. They may mask that explosion with the toys and the clothes and the Barbie dolls, and that ticking time bomb may stop during the toy playing, but it starts right back up again if we don't cut the right cord. Again, Roshan Lindsay, creator of the anti-bullying match card game. Please, I encourage you to get one for the holidays. My website is antibullyingmatchcardgame.com. Looking forward to you guys investing into your children. Call me, text me, inbox me in any way. Everything is anti-bullying match card game online. So I will communicate with you guys. I will give you pointers. I will give you tips. I will just listen to you if that needs to be the case. But I am here to encourage you, to encourage your kids that they're not alone. Bullying is not correct. It's not tolerated. It is the wrong thing, and we can stop it. Talk to you guys later. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Stay connected. Peace. What's up, everybody? This is Roshan, and I am excited to talk with my lovely, beautiful wife, Denise Lindsay. Say hey to the people, babe.
Hello, everyone.
Awesome. And we're just sitting here, talking. We're on the couch. We have nothing planned, nothing scripted. But we are creating a walls conference that I've been mentioning to encourage families and parents, to have that dialogue with their kids about the walls that kids put up sometimes when they don't want to share. They don't want to talk about certain things, especially the topic that we talk about the most in helping the kids. And that topic is bullying. A lot of kids don't like to share what's going on with them, whether they're being teased, picked on, being bothered, harassed. They want to keep things to themselves because they feel like things going to get worse, or things aren't going to get better if they share it with their parents. So we want to have a conference just to encourage the parents, encourage the families to, start opening up that dialogue and, yes, giving the kids a comfort to feel like they can share. So I'm sitting here with my wife. And we're just going to have a conversation and hope this blesses you guys. So, baby, let me ask you a question. Did you feel comfortable when you were a child sharing certain things with your mom at home?
No.
Okay.
I can say no on that.
Okay. And can I ask you, why didn't you feel comfortable?
Because I was very quiet, very reserved, and I kept to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't a very talkative person,
mm-hmm,
unless it was something of interest.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. Let's say something was going on with you, something was bothering you. Why didn't you feel like you had the comfort to go to your mom if it was bothering you?
Because I would say, first and foremost, I wasn't comfortable because of maybe if it was something that I was ashamed of, it would have been embarrassing.
So shame.
So it wasn't my first thought to say, hey, let me go talk to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom and I, we didn't really have that relationship of communication, of just talking about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just more of, we just didn't talk that way.
Yeah.
So when things occurred, I kind of dealt with it how I dealt with it.
I got you. I remember, you know, growing up, you know, my mom, you know, she was an amazing mom. She did so much for me and my siblings, but she was old school, you know, and, you know, a lot of times it didn't have nothing to do with if something was serious going on, but it was more of, you know, the yelling, you know, the sternness, you know, even when I deserved to be yelled at, or, you know, the sternness, because I was always getting in trouble doing something crazy. But for some reason in my kid mind, you know, I always matched the way she handled this is the way she's going to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been totally wrong. Mm-hmm. But in my little, like, again, kid mind, you know, if I get in trouble and my mom yell at me or fuss at me, or she was real, you know, straightforward, you know, about something, in my head, I thought, even when it came to something that bothered me, that had nothing to do with punishment, that bothered me, if I came to her, she'd probably behave the same as that way. So I kind of, like, forfeited my opportunity sometimes to come to my mom about something that was maybe sad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought she was probably going to yell at me.
Mm-hmm.
Or she was going to be real strict or stern about it. So I immediately myself put up a wall, you know, of not communicating about things that maybe I had shame or I had guilt or embarrassment, whether it was dealing with someone picking on me outside, or something happened embarrassing at school, that immediately I just thought I was going to get fussed at.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine what my life would have been like if I didn't create that wall. And we had some great times, and, you know, I was able to share, you know, things a lot of times with her, but there was a lot of times where I just didn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So back to you. Let me ask you this. Do you feel that your mom would, how can I say this? Do you feel like your mom would embrace you in a way that would brought you comfort if, now that you're grown, if you would have came to her and told her about those embarrassing things or the things you might be ashamed of when you look back at it now?
It's really hard to say.
Okay.
It's really hard to say, because I know that was a time as a child, my mother was going through a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, personally, you know, with mm-hmm. her father, if I could be, you know, personal.
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt like there was just a lot of things, and, you know, as far as just working,
mm-hmm.
you know, very hard, and just taking mm-hmm. care of the family. It was just a lot of heavy weight she was carrying for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, for me, I just feel like it would have been a lot for me to talk to her,
mm.
you know, to add more to mm-hmm. what she was already dealing with. I don't know if she would have been able to receive the information that I give her.
Yeah.
In a way where it would encourage me.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yep, I got you.
You know, it's now, of course, as I'm older, it's very different. Mm-hmm. You know, I can talk with my mother. We talk about a lot of things now.
Mm-hmm.
She's very encouraging, but that was just the thing that I told myself as a young kid, and me looking back as a young kid,
mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
Mm. You know why I love what you're saying right now? Because when you say that, I'm thinking about the word, like, importance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's amazing because, you know, especially when you're, like, a child, or even, like, you know, preteen, you know, young adult maybe also. But, you know, we put things in categories in our minds, you know what I'm saying, of what's important and what level of importance is certain things based on the importance of other things. And what I mean by that is, like, let's say you say you have a situation and it's important to you,
mm-hmm.
But then you compare your mom's, you know, workload and, you know, being a mother and, you know, doing things around the house, taking care of the family. That importance is in your head as a child is at a higher level. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in that comparison, sometimes we may, like I've done it 100 times as a kid, we may bring less value to what's important to us in communicating it because the value that we have with our mother or our parents or our guardians, their importance in our perspective may be of a higher level. So why even bring up my 3 if she's a 5 or a 7 in importance? And I'm saying that because I'm thinking about myself personally. Like, man, I can only imagine if I knew that my feelings, my situation at school, my situation in the neighborhood, my situation, how I'm feeling, there is no number. There is no number.
Right.
It's very important. And if I treat it as such, in spite of how busy my mom, because she was the same way, working 2 jobs, you know, taking care of 4 kids, no matter what that looks like, and that still has its place as it's very important, but that doesn't give me the right, talking to myself, to belittle or bring down my importance because I see that my mom had a lot going on or, you know, I don't have the space to come and share certain things with her. So I love what you're saying because I used to do that. Like, I'm thinking about now as we're talking. Like, I used to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, this bothering me. Like, say something happened to me at school. This bothers me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't like what happened in school, but I need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I get home. I know I'm seeing it in my head. My mom, she tired. You know what I'm saying? We're around the house fussing, fighting. She's trying to separate us, break up fights. You know what I'm saying? We yelling about this, yelling about that. You know how we all with Dri and Nana. So it's like all of that is in her headspace. You know what I'm saying? Dealing with us, dealing with the kids, dealing with bills, dealing with, Lord, I just want to get off my feet. You know what I'm saying? And saying all of that, it still shouldn't dictate what happened to me in school today. Mm-hmm. But in my, again, my mind as a kid, I may say, you know what, man, my mom ain't got time for this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This may not be important to her because we around here running amok. She's working hard, you know what I'm saying? On some occasions, barely making ends meet. And that's powerful. So, like, let me turn it back to you. What do you think is significant about knowing that no matter what a parent, guardian, adult, mentor in your life is dealing with, that you don't X yourself out of what's important to you because you're comparing it to what they got going on? How important is that?
Well, I think to start it off, I would say with me personally, mm-hmm. I need to take a step back and reflect on myself. Mm-hmm. Look at myself in the mirror. Tell myself I am important. Mm-hmm. And what is important to me matters.
Yeah.
I matter.
Yeah.
You know.
That's good, babe.
It doesn't matter what anyone else says. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what anyone recognizes. It doesn't matter if there is no one that will, like, even seem that as if they care mm-hmm. about what I'm saying, what I think. Mm-hmm. But I have to understand that what matters to me is important.
Yeah.
Yes, it would have been easier mm-hmm. if my mother would have set the stage for me mm-hmm. and communicated, it's okay that you come to me mm-hmm, mm-hmm, about mm-hmm. any and everything. I would never turn you away.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't always get that. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that are the most easiest said.
Yeah.
You know, so me as a mother now, I have to, our two daughters.
Yeah.
I have to communicate that with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that I've never been communicated. Now, does that mean that my mom didn't love me? No.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't mean that she doesn't love me.
Yeah.
It's just the communication for me wasn't there.
Yeah.
And maybe it was me. I could have been blocking my conversation with my mother because I preferred to have that wall up.
Yeah.
You know, and that can be natural because the things that's occurred in my life has had me put a wall up.
Yeah.
You know, and is that my mother's fault? No.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
But it's me.
Yeah.
But if someone came to me years ago when I was a kid and helped me to recognize that, you know, things may have would have took a different turn.
Yeah.
Now that I'm older, I recognize it. You know, I'm acknowledgeable of the things that are important to me and what matters. And I know how to speak now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even with my children, I'm not going to say that our two girls that they're going to always come to me or you about everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I want to give them the platform where they can come to me, you know, or you, you know, give that platform where, you know, they should want to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But I do understand that it's not always easy.
Yeah.
But I also want to also pay attention to my children's behavior if they're looking sad or down or, you know, just different signs, you know, that are not normal.
Yeah.
You know, because we, you know, as we raise our children, we can tell when there's something ain't right. When there's nothing right, you know what I mean? We're like looking at them like, hold up, what's wrong with them today? You know, oh, they don't want to laugh today.
Yeah.
It's time to understand why.
Yeah, check in with them.
Mm-hmm. When the time is right, they will talk.
Yep.
If it's not that time, but it's okay to plant the seed, to have a conversation with them to start it off.
Yeah.
You know, and then they may come later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
I love that. I think you're blessing me in this conversation because, like, I know you and I have the torch now. You know what I'm saying? Like, technically, our parents passed us the torch of, you know, parenting without even knowing it. You know what I mean? Because your upbringing and my upbringing, you know, we can always look back on our experiences, you know, and make the adjustments in the atmospheres that we're creating together as parents. You know what I mean? And you hit some key points that I've been thinking about as you was talking when it comes to, like, you and I being able to create not only a safe space in the house, you know, but those impartations where, you know, what's important to our daughters is important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the power to be, intentional. We have the power to be intentional to bring awareness to them that we are aware that how you feel is of great value to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can create an atmosphere and a lifestyle intentionally to let them know that their feelings are very important, that what bothers them is very important to us. It's not the last thing on our to-do list. You know, and if we continue that when they do have situations, because like you said, they're going to have situations, some things they're going to want to talk to us about, some things they aren't. But when they do have situations, it'll be more of a pull towards sharing it with us if we already created an atmosphere to let them know that their feelings and their situations have high value. Like I was thinking, and tell me what you think about this, if you want to spin off it. I was thinking if two people walk in a store and both of them have a dollar and they're buying something that costs a dollar and person one, let's say they had the worst day in the world, like the worst day in the world, and they feel some type of way about something, you know, they may have an attitude, they may be looking at everybody a certain way. You know what I mean? And the other person two, they may have a great day. You know what I'm saying? And they feel good. Things are going their way. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, they both have a dollar and they buying something that's worth a dollar. This is a weird analogy, but stay with me. Let's say the cashier behind the cash register, mm-hmm. right? They technically just want your dollar. Mm-hmm. They don't know what's going on with you. And for the most part, if it's not a mom and pop store, they can care less because right. if they don't know who you are. But the value of what you have in your hand is the same whether you're going through something or not. Mm-hmm. So the person who's going through something and the person who may have the attitude has the dollar, and the person that's not going through something and having a great day, mm-hmm. they both have the same value.
Right.
And they are both able to give that same value to the cashier to get what they want. Right. And the reason why I'm twisting this analogy up a little bit in a way where it's negative to positive, positive to negative, is because that's how we are as children of God. Mm-hmm. You know, God has given us a value, a worth to be created in his image. Mm-hmm. And when he sees us, in spite of our behavior mm-hmm. that he may not like sometimes, in spite of the things we say that he may not like sometimes, in spite of the things that we may do that he's not pleased with, it doesn't dictate our value in how he created us and who he created us to be. Mm-hmm. That's that unconditional love. That's that agape love that mm-hmm. God has for us that I believe as parents, we should emulate mm-hmm. that agape love, that unconditional love, no matter how busy we are, mm-hmm. no matter how frustrated we may be with yes. life and bills and even each other, you know, things that go on, it shouldn't dictate the value of our daughter's feelings. It shouldn't dictate that what is important to them is not important to us right now because it's based on how we feel about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So their value, their worth, their what's important to them shouldn't be adjusted in how we respond to it or don't respond to it based on how we feel. Mm-hmm. But we have this thought in our minds to say, Lord, help me make sure what's important to them is important to me or is important to us in spite of what's going on with me, in spite right. what's going on. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Stop my busyness. Stop my worries if I have any. Stop my frustrations. Stop my anger. Stop my, you know, to-do list I'm thinking about tomorrow. And put that to the side for a second and help me shine some light on what's important to my child or to my kids, that they may feel that sense that what's important to them is important to us and we be able to address it mm-hmm. right then and then. So that way they develop some type of comfort to know that their value doesn't change, just like the two examples who come into the store with that $1. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts?
I think that's ministry at its finest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to minister to yourself before Amen. You can minister to someone else. No Amen. Matter who it is, you got to be able to encourage yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to before answering a question or before giving a response to your children's problem mm-hmm. to take a step back.
That's good.
And
babe.
Speak to yourself That's first good. Without yep. just talking, because mm-hmm. we can talk. Mm-hmm. Because they sometimes when they talk to us, they don't want us to tell them and give them mm-hmm. advice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, they want us to understand them. They want us to listen. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to acknowledge to them what they just told you.
What you heard.
What you heard, mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. So that way you can understand them.
Yep.
Not just talk at them. Mm-hmm. Talk with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
Ministry is not always talking about yourself.
That's right, that's know? Right.
So I'm just grateful for understanding that now as an adult.
Okay. So with that being said, we are wrapping up this segment. We pray that you got something from it. You know, Denise and I, we didn't script this. We're just talking. You know, her and I, we've done, I love my baby. We've done events. We've done programs. We created events and programs throughout the years. But this one that we got coming up right now, you know, it's passionate and it's near and dear to our hearts because, you know, we want the families to be blessed, like, for real, for real. Yes. We want God to come in, not by our might, not by our power, but by His Spirit, to come in, you know, and just place an anointing or a presence over the hearts of the parents to let them know that they're doing a good job. Yeah. You know, like, parenting is not easy. Kids don't come with instruction manuals, you know, but those times that we have that frustration or we have that, you know, that sense of, am I doing this right? Am I saying the right thing? Lord, I don't know how to deal with this behavior. I don't know how to deal with this attitude. Or am I investing enough in my child or my children that you don't put that heaviness on you, but that at this particular time, at this quote-unquote event, that God is speaking to you right now and saying, moving forward, I want to remind you that I'm with you and I'm going to continue to encourage you and give you the tools and the inspiration and the word you need to move forward, to make some adjustments, to keep doing what you're doing, to embrace, you know, other parents, to do like Denise said, be quick to listen and slow to speak, hear your child out. You know, highlight, you know, what's important to them, you know, compliment them, you know, listen to them, repeat what they're saying, you know, acknowledge them, you know, give them the floor. So I love what you were saying, baby, because when a child knows that they have your full attention, and Lord knows they want our attention, when they have your full attention and they can consistently get that from you, I believe it tears the walls down. I believe it removes the bricks that they may put up, you know, that didn't even come from you doing something wrong. It's just sometimes they feel like they need to put them up because that's their comfort zone. But when you give them opportunity to share and to be able to vent and express how they feel and just listen to them, I believe it brings the walls down.
Right.
So we just want to encourage the parents, you know, we wanted to pray with them, praying that this event is just a blessing from heaven, you know. Denise, before we close out, we're going to close out in the five more minutes, the 30-minute marker. But before we close out, what's something that you would like to say to encourage all the parents out there with their children about, you know, sharing, opening it up, walls being put up? You know, the importance, you know, all the things we talked about in your own words, whatever the Lord placed on your heart. What do you want to say to empower the parents? Anything that the Holy Spirit may be sharing with you right now?
I just want to say to the parents, including myself, because I know I'm included in my husband.
Yep, we in there with y'all.
Just to try to think about our children's feelings, you know, and at the time, if they are expressing what they're going through, what they may be feeling at that time when they're expressing it, and try to listen to them, as I said before, just try to listen to them and understand them. Don't try to always fix the problem.
That's good, man.
Not every problem is fixable by just words. They just may want your time. They just may want your presence near them. Maybe even just a hug, a kiss. because I know some children may not get the hugging kisses, you know, the or maybe some of the kids might reject it, you know. I know our oldest daughter, sometimes she has her moments of not wanting to show love back. Not saying that she's being hateful, that's just her personality that was forming. So she has her moments when she do kiss me and she hug me. So it's just a balance, having a balance and all of that. But just know the appropriate time just to show them love and to wrap their your arms around them. Because some of them just need love. They just need to talk with you. It just need to spend time with you as their parent to know that you care.
Amen.
You know, take them out for ice cream. Take them out for a walk at the park. You know, just a walk. Even if it's a quiet walk. Just a walk. Just to spend time with them. And just even try to understand what their interests are. What their favorite color is. Just simple conversations that are relatable where they're able to express themselves of what they like. And then that way you can build on what they like by expressing what you like, and then you learn new things about them.
That's right.
I know there was one time my husband Roshan, we had went to a parent appreciation day at our daycare provider's home, because it's an in-home daycare. And you know, there's a lot of parents there and there's a lot of children there. So my husband Roshan, he loves conversating with children. And we were sitting on a swinging chair. And there was a little girl sitting with us, and he was having a conversation. And while the parents were standing in front of us, and I was talking to the parents while he was talking to their child. And as I was talking to the parents, I noticed that their focus went on their child and Roshan in their conversation, and I noticed that I turned to see what all the stare was for. And the father was like, "Oh my gosh, I learned so much about my child that I have never known just in a conversation that they were sitting there having." So just a simple conversation, you will learn so much when your busy day, when your child wants to come and talk to you. You know, it's okay just to put down what you got in your hand, just to make eye contact.
That's good.
Eye contact with them. Look them in the eyes and show them that you are paying attention. You are focused. You are listening, not in your phone scrolling, not reading a paper, but you put everything down and you give them your full undivided attention, and you will see manifestation. And them opening up to you and feeling comfortable and expressing anything they may have issues with.
That's good.
So that's my encouragement to you. You keep doing what you're doing as a parent.
Amen.
Because you're not doing any, you're not doing the wrong thing. Yes, it doesn't come with a manual. And yes, we have some things that we may do that we may not be proud of. But this is not the time to feel guilty, the time to feel that you are not a good parent.
Yes.
It's the time to push you forward in encouragement, and just so that you would be able to see things differently.
Amen.
In a new way. In a lighter way.
That's good, babe. You encouraged me. That's good, babe. We're going to close out. I am not on a restricted time, so I do have one more thing I want to say, bae, and then we'll close out. Is that okay?
Yes.
I feel like one of them pastors always got one more thing to say.
One more thing to say.
I ain't going to hold you. But it was on my heart, you know, and I just want to, again, I pray to God that we are encouraging those who will listen to this. But the last thing I believe that the Lord wants me to share is, God is with you. God is with us. You know, again, you know, when you're parenting, and not just being a parent, just being an adult in this world, you know, times are changing. Things are challenging sometimes, whether it's jobs, whether it's finances, whether it's people, you know, whether it's the violence out there. There's so many things going on in the world, you know, but God is with us.
Yes, he is.
And we have the victory. And that's even if you have a teenage child who don't want to listen. Mm-hmm. You have a teenage child who may be experiencing using substances, or a teenage child who doesn't come home on time, or not doing good in school, or talking back at you, or, you know, physically, you know, trying to hurt or harm you, or a child that those temper tantrums, you know, it's hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to encourage you, including ourselves, to always depend on the power of God. Yeah. Depend on your relationship with Jesus. Depend on your Heavenly Father, spending quiet time with Him and asking Him to help you to be that parent that need to listen. Because sometimes it may be just hard for you to listen. You probably got a million things going on in your head. And sometimes you may need the Holy Spirit to calm your mind down. So be encouraged that God is with you. And ask God to help you say the right thing. God, give me articulation of speech. Give me clarity. Give me the right words. Give me words that I won't offend. Give me patience. Give me a listening ear. Lord, help me, Father God, before I even knock on their bedroom door, start to already soften their heart, soften their ears, soften their mind. Let them know that I'm coming with love and with grace and with mercy, and give me patience, because the first interaction may not go as planned. The fifth, sixth, tenth one may not go as planned, but God always encouraged us to pray without ceasing, which means if you continue to go to Him and say, Lord, help me with this 17-year-old, help me with this child, and you continue to do that, God will answer your prayers, and God will give you wisdom. He will give you discernment. He will give you another dose, level of grace and mercy that you may need, self-control. He may give you humility for that child. And please believe God's anointing will destroy any yoke that may be in this situation that's causing the division, that may cause the walls, that may be causing the arguments between you two. But please believe God has never failed. God has never lost a battle.
That's right.
God will always win as we be consistent in trusting Him with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding.
Amen.
So Denise and I want to close out. We thank you guys for listening. For those who are tuning in, please share this podcast with friends, family, those who are parenting. You may know a friend who may be struggling with their children in this season. Please, please, please share this. We're looking forward to this Walls Conference that's coming up October the 22nd. Yes, yes. And we just want to encourage those who are listening. We want to provide resources, you know, to the family. So if you are able to keep us in prayer, pray for us. If you are able to sow a seed, please sow it. We have our Cash App at $Roshan L. We just want to be a blessing to those who are coming. Denise and I, we're excited. So please keep us not only in prayer, keep the families in prayer. Please visit the antibullyingmatchcardgame.com page, where we have a lot of inspirational tools to help the kids, help the families to deal with bullying, this topic. So we're just excited. We're gifted. We're talented, but we can't do nothing without you guys, nothing without the Lord and all these resources and gifts that He has given us. We want to be a blessing to not only these families, but families as well who hear about it through word of mouth, through the blessings of you guys sharing it. So we thank you guys.
Yes,
and
thank you.
We're excited. And again, thank you for tuning in, and God bless.
God bless.
Peace out.